Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
And this first couple of days, your flesh tells you you're going to die. Headaches, stomach growling, I mean, physically feeling ill about the second into the third day. Your flesh is, it's telling you, I'm going to die if you don't give me what I want. Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, come about the middle of the third day and into the fourth day, the flesh is subdued. And it only gets better from there. If you, 5-6 days in, you don't even care if you eat. The spirit becomes so strong, your mind is under the control of the spirit man, who God says, I place in the heart, because the mind is contrary to the will of God. It's up to the spirit man to take control of this carnal mind and guide this flesh down the narrow path. Once that fast kicks in, the flesh is over its afflicted period, it falls in line, and you feel like Superman. You feel 10 foot tall. Your mind is so clear. Your thinking is so clear. Things that normally stumble you in your Christian walk, you walk right past. Mm-hmm. You have to understand what a fast is. This religious nonsense is not what fasting. Oh, we're fasting on Friday. Okay, good for you. I'm going to have some chicken on Friday, because that little one-day fast is going to do nothing for you. Yeah. Afflict this flesh if you want to get spiritual control. To understand that. Verse 3. I don't even know where I was going with that, but we got there. Mm-hmm. Thou shalt not escape out of his hand, but surely shalt be taken and delivered into the hand, and thine eyes shall behold the eyes of the king of Babylon. And he shall speak with thee mouth to mouth, and thou shalt go to Babylon. And it's coming to the point after 23 years where the carrying away to Babylon is going to happen now. This is like one of the last messages. And I'm sure Jeremiah said, I've been telling you so for 23 years. Your grandfather, your father, now you, son. You guys all have been just not hearing. And out here preaching, and you throw me in jail, and you throw rocks at me, do all sorts of bad stuff to me. I've been telling you what's going to happen. And I've been telling you how to make it not happen. Turn your hearts around. But I think it's to that line where it's too late. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O Zedekiah, king of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of thee, thou shalt not die by the sword. Thou shalt die in peace, and with the burnings of thy fathers, the former kings which were before thee, so shall thy burn odors for thee. They will lament thee, saying, Ah, Lord, for I have pronounced the word of saith the Lord. And Jeremiah the prophet spake of all these words to Zedekiah, king of Judah, in Jerusalem, when the king of Babylon's army fought against Jerusalem, against all cities of Judah that were left, against Lachish and against Azekah. But these defense cities remained of the cities of Judah. This is the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord. After that, the king Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people which were in Jerusalem, to proclaim liberty unto them, that every man should let his manservant, and every man his maidservant, being an Hebrew or a Hebrewess, go free, that none should serve himself of them, to wit, of a Jew his brother. Now when all the princes and all the people which had entered into the covenant heard that everyone should let his manservant, and everyone his maidservant go free, that none should serve themselves of them any more. And they obeyed and let them go. Kind of like a year of jubilee right before the storm. Yeah, we're all going to be carried into servitude. If this Jeremiah guy is correct, and he always has been. His track record is 100 out of 100 prophecies.
No matter how many times we hit him.
Yeah, I mean, he's prophet first class. We know that. Not one of them other lying prophets. So let's turn all of our servants loose. Maybe God will bless us a little bit for releasing our servants. But afterward they turned and caused the servants and the handmaids whom they had let go free to return, and brought them into subjection for servants and for handmaids. Oh, they gave a little lip service to the king.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, yeah, king.
They let him out the back door.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, free Bob, our main server there, but make sure you put a chip on him so we can locate him and get him back. Get the radio collars on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys can go.
Yeah.
Yeah, kids with the king said. So I mean, they won't obey God. They won't even obey their king. Therefore, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel: I made a covenant with your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondmen, saying, at the end of 7 years, let ye go every man his brother in Hebrew, which hath been sold unto thee, and when he hath served thee 6 years, thou shalt let him go free from thee. But your fathers hearkened not unto me, neither incline their ear." So, basically, I mean, they had forgotten the law. We see that time and time again reading the book of Kings and Chronicles. Even the parts about the year of Jubilee, who could possibly forget about the year of Jubilee? That's when all of your debts can be erased. Mm-hmm. I bet they didn't forget that part.
Oh, no.
But they've forgotten the part about all the servants need to be released, if they're Hebrew, you know?
Mm-hmm.
"And ye were now turned and had done right in my sight in proclaiming liberty every man that his neighbor, and ye had made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name. But ye turned and polluted my name, and caused every man his servant, and every man his handmaid, whom ye had set at liberty at their pleasure, to return, and brought them into subjection, to be unto you for servants and for handmaids. Therefore thus saith the Lord, ye have not hearkened unto me, in proclaiming liberty every one to his brother, and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim a liberty for you, saith the Lord, to the sword, to the pestilence, and to the famine, and I will make you to be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth." Wow. This is reminiscent of Christians going to church. Oh, yeah, we like that. God says this, we like that, we do this. And then going home and doing whatever they want to do. It's God doesn't like lip service. He wants obedience. He wants your heart. Because these people, absolutely, I mean, even the littlest things, even the greatest things, they wouldn't do under his statutes. The year of Jubilee, the year of liberty, proclaim liberty through the land. Oh, yeah, out in the public square they did it. But they had their servants rounded back up shortly thereafter. What is that? That's religion. They made a show, an outward show. You put on your leisure suit, you drive over to the First Mennonite Baptist Temple, and you look so holy that day. And then let's take a look at you on Friday come a week, or maybe even Monday morning. Or look at you at the buffet right after service, stuffing your face, glutton. You know that excess food is the gateway drug to spiritual sleepiness. Oh, that's crazy. I'm not a drug abuser. I don't abuse alcohol. I don't do any of that stuff. Well, go ahead. Keep stuffing your face. You got 30, 40 extra pounds around your weight. Guarantee your spirit man is not in control. Love watching those fat pastors waddle up to their microphones and start preaching. I said, "Sir, everything in moderation," Paul says. "You can't even control yourself at the table. How are you tending this flock? Spirit is not in control. All things are legal for the Christian. Not all things are good for the Christian. All things in moderation. And the spirit man will be in control most of the time." Verse 18, "And I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant, which they had made before me, when they cut the calf in twain and passed between the parts thereof." Ah, he's talking about the priest. Mm-hmm. They just started dividing. I mean, God is so precise in his procedures. Cut the cap like this, 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 and this. Do it that way every time. And give me the choice cuts and the first cuts and all the fat. Oh, Phineas, remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the epitome of the televangelist, one of Aaron's sons. He first took the priest, the Levite priesthood, down the wrong path. He made his own rules. After the God's tornado left the camp, they started noticing that they kind of didn't follow the procedures. They didn't get roasted like his other brothers.
Yeah.
Got roasted on the spot while God was there. Do not mess up a procedure in the temple while God is on site. But Phineas knows, oh, we kind of slacked off a little bit, and God's tornado is not here, and things aren't happening. You know, maybe he's gone. Let's cut this. You know what? We're not even going to cut these sacrifices up ourselves anymore. You guys have it cut up already when you get here. You know, cut it in these nice little 1-pound portions. So when I dip in this hook that I made into the bucket and pull out what I want to first, then, yeah, that's the way we're going to do it from now on.
I wonder if that's how delis came about.
But you see, this is very covert here. Verse 18, let's read it again. You got to read every word. You have to have read the whole book over and over again to catch this kind of stuff. And I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of my covenant, which they made before me when they cut the calf in twain and passed between the parts thereof. That's what? Just some guys? Who is that talking about? You have to know the stories. You have to have read the book, Pastor. Not just come in here and read this and tell me that's some cowboys out in the field cutting up a calf.
Yeah.
It's not. This is a direct quotation. This is a direct correlation to the priesthood. They were told to cut up the calves in a certain way. They decided they were going to do it differently. Mm-hmm. He's going to punish the priesthood. That's what verse 18 says, but it doesn't mention priests, doesn't mention Levites. You have to have read the book over and over again. You got to keep reading. It all will make sense. The more you read, the more it will make sense. God promises that. The princes of Judah, the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs and the priests and all the people of the land, which passed between the parts of the calf. And that is another stipulation. These parts are to be given to the priest. These parts are to be burned. These parts are to be sacrificed. But you know what? After a while, if you read Kings and Chronicles, they were taking the food home. They're giving it to their neighbors, giving it to their relatives, feeding their children. It just didn't matter. And God says, you know what? Even if you were one of those that got some of the sacrificial meat, you're going to be punished too, because you should have known better. And he says the same thing about Christians who sit under a pastor that doesn't know the word. He says, you're going to be punished too, because I gave you the book. You should have known better. Everything a pastor says needs to be taken home and scrutinized. Open the book for yourself. Is that really true, what he said today? Oh my gosh, I was watching one for about 4 minutes on YouTube, and I had to turn it off. I said, oh my gosh, this guy's cherry-picked a couple verses. It was about having, I don't know how they got on the subject, about having multiple wives, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He goes back to Lamech, one of the sons of Cain. First one mentioned who took two wives. Oh, it was terrible. It was evil. God punished him for that. And I'm thinking the whole time, all the patriarchs had multiple wives. God didn't punish them. David, when he got punished for adultery, because a man cannot have another man's wife. When David was punished for adultery, God says, if you would have wanted more, I would have given you all that you wanted. But they cherry pick. Not saying go out and get multiple wives. Trust me, that'll lead you to a bad place.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot read this book and twist it into something you want it to say. You got to say what it says. So these people who sit under a pastor who does not know the word, who hasn't read the book. He's getting his message out of the Baptist Chronicle. It's been twisted over the years, but this is the message that we give on the fourth Sunday of every month. You better go home and search it out in God's word, because he says, I will punish you. Not as bad as the pastor that's doing it, but I'll punish you too. He says he'll hold the pastor who preaches a false message as a murderer and a thief. Very harsh sentencing on that. Verse 20. And I will even give them into the hand of their enemies and into the hand of them that seek their life, and their dead bodies shall be for meat unto the fowls of the heaven and to the host and to the beast of the earth. Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his princes will I give unto the hand of their enemies and unto the hand of them that seek their life and unto the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which are gone up from you. Behold, I will command, saith the Lord, and cause them to return to the city, and they shall fight against it, and take it and burn it with fire, and I will make the cities of Judah desolate, without an inhabitation. You sin long enough, Christian, God will not only turn you over to the creditors, to the marriage counselors, to the disobedient children, he'll also take part in it himself. Direct things to come against your life. He says so right here in the book. Oh, God wouldn't do that. Yes, he does that in extreme cases when you continually disobey. And it's so easy. Follow God with all your heart. And if you do that, there is room for you to fail. He knows you're going to fail. Can there be planned failure? No. That will make him angry. But yes, the frail human soul will fail because we have the seed of the serpent indwelling this mind. That's why the mind of the body is contrary to the will of God. You got to catch episode 1 to understand that. Two children in the womb of Eve, seed of the serpent, seed of Adam. And we all have a bit of it in us now if you are flesh. That's why Christ had to be made holy from birth. The act of procreation plants the seed of the serpent in the flesh. Sinful act. The Adamic line was never meant to procreate. That's why Christ, the Holy Spirit, took the seeds of Joseph and planted them in Mary. Holy. It was never done in the normal fashion. Christ came out in a pure Hebrew body. He didn't have to contend with the seed of the serpent. The same as Adam. Adam didn't have the seed of the serpent in him, but he chose through his free will to disobey God. Christ had that free will. He could have chose to disobey his Father also, but he didn't. And he feared. The flesh is fearful. In the garden, it says, any way, Father, this cup can be taken from me. Is there any way? He knew what was coming. He knew the pain that was coming. He knew the sacrifice that was coming. He could have said, I can't do it, but he didn't. He wasn't like the former Adam who failed. He said, thy will be done ahead of mine. Thy will be done. I will purchase them with my blood for you, because I know that is your desire. Do you consider God's desires in your life, Christian? You should. Should be your daily thought of the day, I guess. What does God desire of me today? Am I getting anywhere close to his desires of me today? Or am I just doing my own thing? You do your own thing long enough, he will get your attention in a bad way. You don't want that. Always on the good side. Try to be on the good side, you know? You know, if you're one of those that just cannot follow God with all his heart, at least do things with your hands to show him that there's something inside you that one day wants to latch on and follow him. Yeah, that's the law. And the Jews still do it today. And the Pentecostals try to do it today. The holiness, they dabble in it today. All the while telling Christ, your perfect sacrifice just wasn't good enough. I'm going to do these things with my hands just to make myself feel holy. Now, after you have accepted Christ's sacrifice, he tells you to go out and work for me then. Not processes. You work for the salvation of the souls around you. Not religious process. And I will reward you greatly for your service. But not service to the law. Service in the salvation of Christ. Been with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7. Between the Lines and Waist Deep in Jeremiah. And we will catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan, exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.